Let us turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21, we will read the first 8 verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. God's word, our text, comes from the chapter that we have read together, Revelation 21, verse 4a. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What comfort the Lord gives to his people. And they need that comfort too. John needed it when he was on the Isle of Patmos, banished for the word of God. The Church of Christ needed such comfort then, and the Church of Christ still needs such comfort today. They need living comfort. And God does that by telling what the future is for God's people. And he does so in the book of Revelation, and he does so especially in the last few chapters of the book of Revelation 21 and 22. How is it that God comforts his people? By making them look up. By making them look forward. By causing them to see what is yet to come. The new heaven and the new earth, and there is no more sea. And in that new heaven and in that new earth, there will be blessings. Rich blessings. One of them is that God will dwell with his people, and they with him. They will be in his presence, never to leave his presence again, and never to sense his absence again. And another blessing is that he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And at that heavenly promise we wish to listen this morning. Tears wiped away in heaven. That's our theme. Tears wiped away in heaven. First we'll see tears shed. And secondly we'll see tears removed. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is not the only place that we find these words. We come across these words for the first time in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8, where the prophet tells us that he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Speaks of tears. Tears. We all know what they are. Each tear that falls down says something. Each tear that falls down has its own story to tell. Especially the story of sadness and of pain. And let's think on some of the tears that are shed in this life. And then we can think for, first of all, that there is the tear of suffering, bearing pain, physical pain of one kind or another, reminding you of your weakness and of your frailty. And it can be pain of the body, or it can be pain of the nerves in the body, or pain of the bones, or pain of the mind. Is there anyone who has never faced such pain? A child of God is not free from pain in the body either. The child of God knows weaknesses, and he knows trials, and he knows sicknesses. Sometimes God's children know the heaviest of trials, the heaviest of sufferings. And it is the Lord in heaven who lays it upon them. And then it can be that a child of God tries to bear this patiently as he suffers under it. But then it can be that there are times when the pain is unbearable and he cannot keep his tears back. And the tears run down your cheeks. Tears of suffering. But there are also tears at death. A loved one called out of this life, and you have to gather at the side of a grave. And who have you lost? You've lost a friend, a child, or a parent, a loved one. Who has not lost a friend in our midst? And who can escape standing by the grave? The Lord Jesus himself stood at the grave of one of his friends, someone whom he loved. And what happened then? Then we read, he wept. Tears ran down the cheeks of the Lord Jesus. Pain is felt. There's a loss, and sometimes you can't even put it into words, but there is an earthly bond that is broken. Tears at death. There are tears also because of tribulation. Think of what these people in the seven churches were experienced to whom John was writing. Persecution was their lot. John was on the Isle of Patmos. The Church of Christ was in danger. Christians were in danger. Some had already died. We read of in the letters which John has written to his churches. So the battle was being waged against the Church of Christ, and still today. And sometimes the Christians are in greater danger than in other times. Sometimes the assaults on the church are made in times of persecution, and other times the assaults are made in times of prosperity. You see, but God's people are an assaulted people. There's a battle that's being waged, and they are assaulted, and the devil wants to have them destroyed, no matter what the cost. Whether it is prosperity, then he will give prosperity to a measure. And the Christian, he has to be faithful unto death. And a Christian, in the midst of these battles, he can shed tears because he has fears, doesn't he? And he feels sometimes that he is about to waver. And he feels that he is about to fall. He feels the devil's assaults. Tears because of tribulation. But then there are also other tears. Tears because of sin. Tears that flow because we have brought upon what we have brought upon ourselves by our sin. And that comes in so many different shapes and sizes for the true Christian. For the sin of a Christian comes, and sometimes it is that when the Lord is chastening His child, then it can be that His child is rebellious. And His child murmurs, and His child complains, and we forget who it is that is chastening us, and we forget why He is chastening us. We are prone to forget, just like a little boy is prone to forget when his father is disciplining him. He is prone to forget that his father is disciplining him because he loves him, and because his father wants to keep him from going in the wrong way. And God's child can be just like that. We feel the chastening of the Lord, but we forget about the love of the Father behind it. And we forget about the reason why the Father is doing it, seeking our good. And then when we see how we have been in time of chastening, that we have been rebellious, and that we have been murmuring, and the Lord shows us His love, then there is grief. Tears are shed because of sins committed long ago, of recent sins perhaps, or sins in the home, sins in our relationships, sins under the Word of God, sins, and then especially the sin of unbelief. When God's people see that sin in their own lives and hearts, then they grieve. And tears are shed, and their hearts sometimes are broken. Unbelief. When we don't listen to God's Word anymore. When we don't take His Word to heart anymore. When we may go through some motions of reading it, and we may act religious, but we don't run to the Lord of the Word. When the Lord comes to us with promises, but we will not run to the promises of God. When the Lord comes with His kindness, and when the Lord comes with His grace, but we won't run to Him with our guilt. And then what happens is we wander further and further away from the Lord. And then we become restless. Restless we go to sleep. And restless we wake up in the morning, and we are troubled in mind of heart. And we know that things are not right. And it is because we have neglected the Word of God. And we have neglected the closet. And we have neglected the exercise of faith. And then we come to miss the Lord. And we become troubled. Where is the Lord? And we say, what have we done by our unbelief? What grief is there because of our sin? That I have offended God. I have injured the Lord. And what has the Lord done to me? What has the Lord been to me? The Lord has been so good to me. He has been so kind to me. And the child of God comes to grieve then. I have dishonored the Lord. My loving God. My dearest Savior. And I've been living at a distance from the Lord. And especially then when the Lord comes over in His loving kindness, and He shows that He is still knocking at the door of our hearts, when we have left Him and we have turned a deaf ear to Him, but He still comes knocking and He still comes calling us back, and then what love He can show. When I see that I'm a backslider, then that causes tears, pain of heart. And against Thee only have I sinned. Tears and sin. Have you ever shed tears because of your sin? And have you ever traced where tears come from? They come from the first sin. When man fell into sin because when God made man set him in paradise, then there was no reason to cry. Then there was no reason to shed tears. Then there was no suffering. Then there was no troubles. Then there was no death. There was no sin, you see. But when sin came, then came the curse. The curse that there would be tears in work, that there would be tears in childbearing, that there would be brokenness and pain. Who is free of tears? Who doesn't know of fears? Who doesn't know of pain? Who doesn't know of heartache? Can take you to homes, bring you to the homes where a mother is crying in her bedroom because there are trials in the home, brokenness. There's concern for the children that they are on the wrong track. Or we can take you to a school and take you to see a young little girl who has been hurt by the words of another girl. And there she is in tears. There are tears of loneliness. There are tears of disappointments. There are tears that things have not turned out the way you had hoped. There are tears of sadness. There are tears. And the child of God perhaps sheds the most tears. And you see, the Christian is one who knows of tears, running down his eyes, and sometimes not running down his eyes, but running down his heart. That when he cannot cry, then it is that tears are breaking out of his heart. And such tears continue to be shed his entire life. For you see, we live in the valley of tears. And it is true that the child of God finds times when the Lord comes over and dries his tears sometimes, and the Lord gives joy. And what does that mean? It means that for a brief moment, he can have peace. And for sometimes, the tears are not flowing, but he continues to live in the valley of tears. He has not arrived yet at his destination. He is still a pilgrim here below. And still more tears are shed. And it is so that the Christian, he comes to the very gates of heaven weeping, as Spurgeon says. He has tears shed throughout his life, and he needs them to be dried in heaven. But you see, the Christian until then doesn't find his tears completely dried in life. Tears are shed, some shed more than others, but all of God's children shed tears, and they will shed tears until heaven. Tears glisten in the eyes of a Christian till he reaches the place where there are no more tears, where the tears are removed. That's our second point. Tears removed. There are no more tears in heaven. Here on earth, it is different. In our brief pilgrimage, there are many tears. But there in heaven, no more tears. And so it is, for after all, in heaven, there is no more death. Here there is death that separates. Here there is broken earthly bonds. But in heaven there will be no more death to separate. No one. And so there are no tears in heaven. Here there are trials. Here there are crosses. But in heaven there are no trials and there are no crosses to bear. Here there are broken friendships, but in heaven there are no broken friendships. And so there are no tears in heaven. Here there is pain, but in heaven there is no more pain experienced. what God's people have to undergo on this earth. And they have to undergo much, and especially in certain places they may have to undergo famine, or distress, or nakedness, peril, persecution, slander, or sword, or other things of which Romans 8 speaks about. All that is not experienced in heaven. The sun shall not light on them, nor any heat. Revelation 7. No more famine, no more thirst. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. And so, the effects of sin are gone. And so, no tears are shed in heaven. You know, a child of God on earth, he leaves his Lord. But in heaven, there will be no more leaving the Lord. There will be no more murmuring. There will be no more rebellion, no more backsliding, and so no more tears. Here there are sinful uprisings in the heart, unexpected perhaps, but then there will be no more sinful uprisings in the heart. There will be no more sin. The heart will be full of love to God, and so no more tears. The world and sin constantly battle God's child. This life, this short life. But then the world and sin will be walled out and will not come inside anymore. There God's people will be without spot and wrinkle before God. And so, why would there be tears then? Here there are dark days. Dark days for the mind. Dark days for the soul. But then there will be no more darkness. Then there will be no more dark soul. So no dark night of the soul. There will be light. Now the devil assaults, but then the devil will no longer assault, because he cannot enter into the gates of heaven. So no tears. Now God's children are afraid of falling away from the Lord. And sometimes they feel forsaken by the Lord. And they think sometimes that they will forever be forsaken by the Lord. They're afraid that they will not stand on the last day. But then they will be safe. Then they will be secure in glory. And they will know that they are secure forevermore. And they shall never doubt again. Nothing shall take them away from the Lord. And so, no tears. In heaven, God's people will be satisfied. For they will be brought to the fountain of joy, the rivers that flow over with joy. They will never envy anymore in heaven. They will never be discontent. They will never be unsatisfied. They will be blessed evermore in the presence of the Lord, in the fullness of joy. And so there will not be any more tears there, in the presence of the Lord and of the Lamb. Do you long for such a day, dear child of God, when tears will no longer be shed, when tears will no longer be cried, when there will be no more sadness, and no more pain, and no more ache of the soul. No more tears. But actually, that's not what our text says. It is true that in heaven there will be no more tears. And the second part of this verse tells us that there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And when we listen to that, then you see here several words used for tears. You read of crying and you read of sorrow, and those are strong words, indicating not just a slight touch of sadness, but a deep heartfelt grief. But there, the deep heartfelt grief will be removed. But not just the deep heartfelt grief will be removed, also other grief. The companions of grief will be removed. Isaiah 35 tells us of such companions. Verse 10, sorrow and sighing that will be done away in heaven. No more groaning, no more sighing, for sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And so it is true that there will be no more tears in heaven. But our text says something else. It says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And you see here you have a picture, don't you? A picture that our boys and girls are familiar with. A boy or a girl comes crying sometimes. They break out into tears because something has made them cry. And he comes crying to his dad or to his mom. And what does his mom do? His mom takes him on his lap, says, shh, and puts her hand on his face and wipes away the tears that are running down his cheeks. That's the picture that's given here. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God's people will have arrived at last. Heaven has been reached. They've pilgrimed through this valley of tears. It's not been an easy journey for them. They've had to travel through the desert like the people of Israel. And they've had many trials. Through many trials, toils, and pains. Many because they have brought it on themselves by their sin. But then they have crossed the River Jordan. And they arrive in the Promised Land. And how do they arrive in the Promised Land? They arrive with tears on their faces. Oh, the many tears shed in the valley of tears below, of suffering and of affliction, of crosses, of persecution, of sin. Maybe there are even tears shed in dying. How will they arrive? Maybe they will go lost after all, a child of God may think on his deathbed. He's afraid with Christian and Pilgrim's Progress that he will sink. But he, child of God, with Christian and Hopeful in Pilgrim's Progress, they shall enter into the joy of the Lord. And what about those tears that they bring with them? The tears with which they come into heaven. God shall wipe those tears from their eyes. Literally, it says, every tear, singular. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And so when God's child is received into glory, then it is God Himself who wipes away the tears from their eyes. You might think that when a pilgrim at last arrives to his destination, the pilgrim that is a child of God, that he will wipe the tears from his eyes. But God doesn't leave it to his children to do it themselves. This is not even something that he leaves to his angels to do. He does it himself. And do you see how tenderly he is? How much a father he is. For ask yourself the question, parents, whose tears do you wipe away? Isn't it so that you don't wipe away the tears of your friends? You only wipe away the tears of your children. And that is what it means. God will wipe away the tears from their faces. In tenderness and in compassion and in His fatherly love, the tender love a father has. For all his children dear means that when they arrive at last in glory, He will wipe away their tears Himself. But how can He do that? How will He do that? How come He can do this? Well, what does a mother do then when her child comes to her in pain? When the child comes perhaps with a thorn in his hand and he shows his mummy and he's crying. Then is it enough for the mother simply to take the child on her lap and to wipe the tears away? No, she needs to remove the thorn first, and then she can wipe away his tears. And you see, that's what God has to do. He has to remove the cause for the tears. And that's what we find in Isaiah 25, verse 8. And if you wish to turn with me to that in Isaiah, then we learn something there. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And you notice then when you look at this verse that it speaks of two things which Revelation 21 also speaks of. It speaks of death, and it speaks of wiping tears away. But notice the order here in Isaiah 25. The Lord first deals with death, then he wipes away tears. In Revelation 21, he first wipes away tears and says, there shall be no more death. Is that insignificant that here in Isaiah 25, that the Lord first deals with death? No. That's not insignificant. The Holy Spirit who inspired these words, he did so purposely, showing that in Isaiah 25 verse 8, for the Lord to wipe the tears away, he first has to deal with death. First has to deal with that which happens to all men. Death must be conquered. Also the cause of death must be dealt with. And that is what the third part of Isaiah 25 verse 8 deals with when it says, and the rebuke of all his people shall he take away from off all the earth. The Lord must deal with all the reasons why his people are rebuked, suffering and sorrow, but also sin. And so death needs to be defeated. Sin needs to be dealt with. How? Is this an unimportant question? No, I don't think so, because if sin is not dealt with and death is not defeated, then there will be a heaven, true. But then no one will be there in heaven. No sinner will come to heaven. Sin has to be dealt with. How? Through the Father's only begotten Son. For it is in Christ alone that this is the basis and the ground for this promise. God shall wipe away all tears from their faces. And then we think of Christ. He had reason to shed tears. Many reasons, for he was without sin. And he had to live in this veil of sin and tears. He suffered all his lifetime, and he had to walk and live in the valley of tears, and he had to suffer excruciatingly, especially because the Father had to cast him away. And he sweat great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Hebrews 5 verse 7 tells us of him who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. How many tears did he not shed for you, dear child of God, as substitute to pay the punishment for sin in your place? Tears that came as the result of the fall. Tear brought on the curse. That curse has to be removed. And that curse is removed by Christ Jesus being made a curse so that he can bring a people to glory and the Father could wipe away all tears from their eyes. And so Christ, he battled against death. The reason why many tears have been shed in the history of this world. Also the reason why tears were shed in the congregation this past week. Christ, he did battle death, and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he rose again from the grave, and because he has done so, there is the prospect of the new heaven and the new earth, and the sea being no more, and the prospect of the Father wiping away the tears from off his children's faces. And that tells us that when Christ died, then he entered into glory. And the first thing the Father did is wiped away the tears of Christ. And moments later, when the thief on the cross came, then the Father wiped away his tears too. And he will wipe away all the tears of all his children that are taken to him. And why does he do this? Why does he do this for them? For sinners who have brought so many tears upon themselves. For remember who they are. They are by nature misery lovers. They are by nature God assaulters. You can think of an illustration. Think of a man who fights against a king. He's a miserable man. He's a suffering man. He's poor in the kingdom. He has much pain stored in his heart. If only his heart would be softened. But this man, he curses the king and he despises the king. But then the king takes this man and he melts his heart in love. And he says, "I adopt you as my son." And you see, when the heart is overcome with love, and when the heart is seen in all its ugliness, then the tears begin to fall. And then the king comes with his handkerchief and wipes away the man's tears. Why does God do this? Why does he wipe away tears? Why does he deal with death? Why does he deal with sin? Because of his love. Because of his great compassion for sinners. And what love and compassion is shown in this deed, wiping away the tears from the faces of those who were at enmity with him once. What tenderness he has in his heart for sinners. Oh, what divine love. Love so amazing, so divine. And our ears may hear of this love. And what does that mean then? What may we do? We may go to him with our tears. And then that tells us the difference between the spiritual man and the natural man. They both shed tears. And they both may shed many tears. And they cry. And they both may shed tears feeling their sin. And they both may shed tears feeling sorry for their sins. Judas did. And David, the king, did. But the one brought his tears to the Lord. And the other, he doesn't bring his tears to the Lord. He doesn't go to the Lord with his sin. He doesn't think that the Lord will be gracious to him. But the spiritual man, he cannot stay away from the Lord. The Lord has worked in his heart, shown him his love, shown him that he is welcome with the Father through Christ. And so he goes to the Lord. And he needs grace from the Lord. And he knows that the Lord is willing to give grace. And he's willing to give it even to the chief of sinners. And he knows that if ever he will find pardon, it will be by grace through the blood of Christ alone. And so he must go to Christ. If I perish, I perish. But there has never been anyone who has perished at the feet of Christ. For him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Whatever sin is brought to him, whatever tears are brought to him, but then you also do need to come to him. And that's something of great urgency. My dear unconverted friend, you who have never brought your hard heart to the Lord, you who have never brought your tears to the Lord Jesus, you who have never sought grace, you need a change of heart, and you need to come to Christ, and you may hear of the Savior who came to bear the curse for sin away. And you may hear of the Savior who has paid for sin. And you may hear of the Savior who has defeated death, who has stood at the grave, who has entered into the grave, and has risen victorious from the grave. He has made a way possible for sinners to be reconciled to God. But outside of Christ, there is no pardon. Outside of Christ, there is no future. Don't you think that this is urgent then? For what is at stake? A few years? No. What is at stake is eternity. And is at stake your body? No. Your soul first and foremost. Seek this Savior. Seek Him with all your heart. Lay your needs before Him, whatever they may be. He hears the needy when they cry. But there is also another end for those who will not go to Him. For those who may be impressed with the Word, who may shed a few tears, and who may think sometimes of heaven. But they are thinking of heaven without Christ. And they're thinking of heaven that they can go to heaven without a Savior, Christ. And you see, those who think that way, their end is hell. Those who will not turn unto the Lord, those who will not seek salvation with the Lord alone, their end can only be perdition. And in hell, no one wipes away tears. There is no one to receive you in hell and say, I will wipe away your tears. The devil will not. The demons will not. Your friends on earth, they will not. And how can they wipe away tears from your faces anyways? Because in hell, the tear ducts never stop. And they never run empty, for there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what the Lord Jesus has said the most of hell. He has said hell on four occasions is this, weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be more tears spilled in hell than have ever been spilled from the beginning of the world. There will be bitter tears spilled in hell, especially for those who have been under the gospel preaching, who have heard the truth, who have heard of a Savior Christ, who saves from sin, death, and the grave. And there will be bitter tears because they will say, if only I had turned, if only I had listened, oh, how shall it be if we neglect so great salvation? There will be weeping. Weeping and weeping. But for the child of God who says, there is so much reason for grief. I have so much reason for grief. And sometimes it can even be that a child of God says when he thinks of heaven, I sometimes think that I will go lost after all. For I am a sinner and there is no good in me. My heart is cold. That's the reason for my grief. I do not love Christ as I would. Oh, I know that can be the fears of God's children. But it is the Lord who will hold you fast. And it's the Lord who will bring you to Himself. Now you still shed tears. Shed them at the feet of Jesus. But soon you will come to a place where tears are shed no more. Soon you will be with God and with the Lamb. Soon you will see him face to face. Soon the weary night will be over. Soon all the trials will be done. Soon, soon. Sorrow may last through the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Everlasting joy that can never be taken away. And when you arrive, God Himself will wipe away your tears for the weeping Savior's sake and dying Savior's sake. Amen.